Shas Marina, Rav Shlita. As you probably noticed, I don't bother eating or drinking at these Dagel Shrim. I can't mix work with pleasure. But there's always been one person who would come up to me at the beginning of this year and put a drink in front of me. I'm not suggesting that you should put any drinks in front of me. A very active participant of our shiur, a very conscientious participant of our shiur, and I wish to say this shiur le'ilu nishmaso, our dear friend Ashley Klinger, Rabbi Avraham Tzvi ben Rabbi Mordechai Yaakov, and he should be a melech tzioshe for all of us. Hashem should give comfort to his family, and we learnt a lot from him. And although he thought that he was learning from me, I was really learning from him. To you, David Rabinovitz, the Chaim Aruchim for the Yotzeit of your father, which is today, and thank you for sponsoring this shiur. Our topic today is a very wide topic, so wide that I thought I won't manage to say everything in one go, and our next shiur will be a part two, treating the sick. The question is, of course, isn't Hashem the doctor? What do we need doctors for? Rofei chole amo Yisrael, Hashem is the doctor. So why do we need to go to doctors? In fact, are we allowed to go to doctors? If Hashem is the doctor, then does it not display a lack of emunah, of faith and bitochon, if we ourselves go to a doctor? So the Gemara in Bava Kama daf pei hei on the days brings the pasuk v'rapo yirapei, and this is in connection with compensation for injury, but v'rapo yirapei, the double expression of to be healed, mikan shenisna reshus l'rofe l'rapos. From here we learn that there is a permission to doctors to heal us. That is to say that Hashem is really the doctor. We have to daven to Hashem for a refuah shleima, but the doctor is a shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore the doctor has a reshus, a permission from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to exercise his professionalism and to provide medication or whatever advice to gain a refuah shleima. So the Rashba asks, I might assume that maybe I can only go to a doctor for an injury caused by oneself or by other humans, whereas if it's some illness which is caused directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe I should not go to the doctor because that illness comes from Hashem. Hashem wants me to have that illness and I should leave it alone. Indeed, we are aware of certain sects of Christianity who will not allow blood transfusion surgery. They call themselves witnesses. And they think that they are performing the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's not true. Because v'rapo yirapei is saying that you have to go to the doctor. The verse says the Rashba is teaching us that for all kinds of illnesses, we have to go to the doctor. And not only is it reshus, says the Ramban, the mitzvahi. It's not just a permission to go to the doctor. It's a mitzvah to go to the doctor. It's including the saving of life. The Gemara in Pesachim Ayin Beis says, you can use any measures necessary to get a remedy other than idolatry. Atzei Asherah is the wood, the trees which are used for idolatrous purposes. And one can go to complete lengths in order to achieve a refuah shleima. And if somebody wants to first ask a shaila, let's say on Shabbos, when precious seconds are ticking away and an emergency arises, and somebody says, oh, I better ask a shaila, I'll go round to the Rav's house. A person who does this is called Shofech Domim. He is a murderer. He is guilty of manslaughter, at least, because it says in the Pasuk, Lo Samod Al Dam Reyecho. You don't stand by on the blood of your neighbor. And so the Tosfos HaRosh says in Brachos Daf Samach that this is a murder case if one is delaying going to a doctor when medical help is needed. Indeed, a person who decides to ask a shaila, you know, the classic example you hear of is if a yeshiva bocher who's so involved with the Mishnah Berurah decides that when there's a fire going on, he takes the Mishnah Berurah off the shelf to look up and see what he should do. It's called chassidus shel shtus. It is pure vanity. But sometimes, although it's obvious that you don't look on the Mishnah Berurah when there's a fire going on, there are people who, in their genuine conscientiousness, decide to delay something for some reason. I don't want to criticize my own daughter in public, but a few weeks ago, when she started labor contractions to give birth, it was 10 minutes before Shabbos was out, so she thought, oh, I'll wait till Shabbos goes out. Now, I did say to her afterwards, look, you don't wait. Once the emergency arises, you just act as though it's a weekday. You just go to the hospital. In fact, her previous baby was born in the car on the way to the hospital, so I thought she might have learned her lessons from that. But she waited those 10 minutes till the adas time in the luach was reached, and then she agreed to get into the car. Well, that is not really the way one should be. As soon as there's an emergency, you act. Call out solo, you call an ambulance, you do whatever's necessary, but you act as though it's a weekday because you have to. Yeah, and you might say, oh well, giving birth is not really a danger to life, but we do regard it in halacha as a pikuach nefesh, when one acts as though it is a serious danger to life, even though everything should go smoothly and hunky-dory. Yeah, exactly. We do regard the woman who's given birth as a cholo, and we can break Shabbos for her for up to a week after she's given birth, the first 3 days, even if she doesn't ask for it. And then the subsequent 4 days if she asks for it. And we suspend Shabbos completely for that reason. And so there are a number of different pesukim which spell this out, this idea of the doctor having to act for a person who is unwell. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Pei Dalad, refers to the pasuk v'after le'echo kamocho, love your neighbor like yourself. Then there's another idea from Baba Kama Peyal of Vahashevo Solo, and that it's as if it's lost property and you're bringing back to a person his health. And of course there's the famous Pasuk V'chayimoch, that says the Ramban in Vayikra Kafhei Lamed Hei, that you will do everything you can to provide a remedy. And the Pasuk which is used to justify the breaking of Shabbos is Ashei Aser Aser Odom V'chay Bohem. The Chai Bohem, and you shall live by the mitzvahs, not that you should die by the mitzvahs. So says the Rashba in Teras Habayis, from here we learn that the doctor has a duty to do everything that's necessary to save a person's life. So the Taz asks a very interesting question in Yeradeh Shin Lamad Vav Sif Aleph. He says, if it's such a great mitzvah for the doctor to provide remedies to heal a person, then why did we start off today saying that the doctor has a reshus, a permission? Surely, if the doctor is there to perform a function, to give you a refuah, then, and it's a mitzvah, then surely it shouldn't use the word reshus. Reshus simply means permission. Reshus implies reshus v'lo chova, that there's not really a duty, but there's a permission. But really, there's a chiyav here, there's a mitzvah here, a mitzvah d'oraisa. So why, asks the Taz, do we call it a reshus for the doctor? So, do we have any doctors here in the house? No. Okay, I have to be careful what I say otherwise. Anyway, so Mochatzti Vanier Po, Hashem says, I am the one who gives you the cure. Says the Taz, the true healing comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we've just said. Hashem is the doctor. But he agrees, Hashem is giving you a kind of concession. He agrees that you go to the doctor, not that you're disregarding Hashem as the doctor, but you are going to the doctor that Hashem agrees that you seek through natural means, because really, it's a need to get a recovery. But you're going to the doctor for natural means, but that in turn, although therefore it's a permission and a concession, it becomes a duty. So there's no contradiction between the fact that it's a reshus and that it's a mitzvah. Interestingly, the preacher on the tour in Siman Shin Lamad Vav in Yeradeo says the doctor might be reluctant to do his job if it's spelt out openly that you've got a chovah, that you've got a complete duty. He might say, oh, what do I need this hassle for? I would like to have an easier life and I'll give it up and do something else. So a softer terminology is used of reshus. And reshus, he says, means that there's no issur. We're worried that you might be doing something against Hashem because Hashem is really the doctor. So that the word reshus spells out the fact that Hashem gives a complete carte blanche permission that you're doing it, and then it becomes a mitzvah mishum pekuach nefesh. The Moshav Zakenim says, an interesting idea from the Pasuk, v'rapo yirapeh, he says, this permission, what does it mean, permission? He says, if you're not happy with your first doctor, then you've got permission to go to a second doctor. You don't have to say, well, since this doctor has Siyata Dishmaya, I will stick with him, whatever he says. You do have the right to go for a second opinion and to go to somebody else. And this is spelled out by this word, rishus, permission. And not that you have to stick yourself to the first doctor. But the attitude of doctors should be that the refuah comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I once heard that Dr. Adler, seen as a Kroner Livrocha, was once seen with his head on his arm sitting in his car, and somebody asked him, are you alright? Is everything okay? He said, I'm just davening for that sick person in that house. That he was full of bitochen and emunah and did everything with Siyata Dishmaya, but he was always davening for his patients. Interestingly, in the town of Presburg, they had a minhag that when they called up a doctor to the Sefer Torah, just like the rabbi was given the title Moreinu, they gave the title of Moreinu to the doctor. Because the doctor, like the rabbi, was there to look after your welfare. Alright, the rabbi is for your spiritual welfare, and the doctor is for your physical welfare, which is also important for you. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin in Yodzayin says that you should not live in a place where there is no doctor. Alright, there are other things which are required in a settlement like a mikveh, but a doctor is one of the essential things. And we know from the Gemara in Yumon Pei Dalet that we rely on doctors in a way to paskin when it comes to matters of whether somebody should eat on Yom Kippur or not. It's the Rav who defers his opinion to the doctor. If that's the case, that doctors are so important, why is it that the last Mishnah of Kiddushin says a very strange phrase, Tov Shebarofim LeGehinnom, the best of doctors end up in hell? How can that be if the doctor is such an essential function in a town that you won't even live in a place where there's no doctor? Why is it that there's this expression, Tov Shebarofim LeGehinnom? Now Rashi gives a number of ideas, and there's also from the Maharsha certain explanations given. What does it mean, Tov Shebarofim LeGehinnom? First of all, the doctor might give the wrong medication. He might be careless, he might not be conscientious enough, and in doing so, he could be guilty of manslaughter. Another idea is that the doctor might not be directing his heart properly to Hashem, and you might assume that he is the one who is giving the cure, and not Hashem is giving the cure. There was something in the news recently about the doctor of, was it Michael Jackson, who's now in prison because he was guilty of what's called involuntary manslaughter. Yes? Pardon? Yeah, we're talking about the bad doctor. But why does it say Tov Shebarofim? Okay. Yeah. The Rashi also says that there may be a doctor who's a very good doctor, but he will decline the treatment if the person is unable to pay. And if poor people are unable to pay, pardon? That's not Tov Shebarofim. And there's an idea given in the Maharsha that the doctor is behaving arrogantly. Years ago, I once had some eye trouble in my yeshiva days, and I was referred to a very top specialist, a top professor who had an award from Her Majesty the Queen for curing blindness in African children. And he did a thorough test on me, and he said to me, there's nothing wrong with you. I said, thank you very much, but I'm feeling pain in my eyes. There's something wrong with me. And he said to me something which I just couldn't believe my ears about. He said, I think my name is a good enough assertion that if I say you're right, then you're all right. And I left there very despondently with pain in my eyes, but that's another story for another time. The Ramban writes in Taras Odom, says that when a doctor charges the fee, he should regard it as schabatolo for tircha, that it's like an unemployment pay. Because since what he's doing is a mitzvah, and one shouldn't take money for a mitzvah, therefore, where he should regard that the money he gets for his services is like unemployment benefit, that he's not really doing it for the money. He's doing it because there's a mitzvah in it, but he's got to pay his bills, he's got to educate his children, he's got to live. So he's given money, but it's not given in the form of a typical salary. Now this raised a mishnah at the end of Kiddushin, Tov Shebarofim LeGehinnom. There is a sefer called Evan Bochen by Clonimus Ben Clonimus And he says, this is not referring to genuine doctors at all. He says it's referring to quacks. He says that people who are engaged in lying, in deception, who claim that they can give a cure but they can't, their hearts have turned away from Hashem, their hands are covered in blood, those are the sorts of people it's talking about. And Rav Jacobovitz Zichrono in his Sefer Jewish in Medical Ethics, he writes that this phrase was never meant to refer to a conscientious doctor, somebody who is diligent in his ways. I have a very diligent brother-in-law who's a doctor, and he, day and night he's called out, and without question he goes and attends to people, he governs for them. You cannot imagine someone who's more conscientious. Certainly the missionary is not talking about somebody like that. But there are doctors around who are in it for the money. I mean, you've probably all heard the story of Moshe Pippick, who heard that the doctor he wants to go to is charging £200 for a first appointment, but for subsequent appointments he's only charging £100. So he comes to the doctor and says, "Hello doctor, here I am again." So the doctor says, "Well, as for the treatment, take the same as before." When it comes to then halachas of medicine and being a doctor, one is constantly faced with dilemmas, choices. Do I do it this way? Do I do it that way? And that's why we need the halacha to guide. And perhaps one of the most classic cases in the Shulchan Aruch and Mefarshim is one which might not apply exactly nowadays in the way it's worded, but in other ways. And I'm thinking of the case where a person is very ill on Shabbos, Rachmana Litzlan, and the doctor insists that this person has to eat meat. Probably it's a B12 deficiency, and meat is the only food which gives it, although you can have Marmite as well, but it didn't exist in those days. And if the doctor says one has to eat meat and there is no kosher meat available, does one ask a shochet to shecht on Shabbos, or does one give treifa meat to the sick person? And it's a very interesting debate, because you can find arguments for both ways. If we give treifa meat, you say, give treifa meat, well, it's only an issur lav, it's chayav malchus when you give treifa meat. But Shabbos is an issur kares. Shabbos is a much more severe issur, so logically you might say that you should rather give treifa meat to the sick person rather than break Shabbos. On the other hand, you might say if you give treifa meat, he's going to eat not one kazais but a few kazaisim, and therefore there's a number of issurim. Whereas if you break Shabbos, you're just doing one malacha. But are you only doing one malacha? Because when you break Shabbos to provide meat, you're doing shechita, but then you're going to skin the animal as well, which is also a malacha. You're going to have to cook the meat. So there are a number of malachas which you'll be doing on Shabbos. Pardon? Yeah, right. So there's the interesting question, is Shabbos something which is called hutra, or is it called duchuya? When you're breaking Shabbos for a sick person, is it a complete blanket heter, as though it's a weekday, to behave as though you are on a weekday? Or do we say Shabbos is dechuya? Dechuya meaning, it's still there, an important facet of Shabbos, but dechuya means we push it off as much as is necessary, but the dieved, we don't really want to break Shabbos at all, obviously. So that's the debate, if it's hutra or dechuya. The Ran and the Ravad say, when you face with such a choice between shechting and providing for the sick person, you shecht. Even though Shabbos is a greater issa, you shecht meat. And the Rashba says, he argues, he says, no, you give the treifa meat. His attitude is Shabbos is dechuya, so if there's any way we can protect Shabbos, we will protect it. But by the same argument, the Bach asks, you could say, well, the hutra dechuya argument can apply to treifa food as well. Why not say that several bites of the treif it also is a dechuya, and therefore, if you say Shabbos is dechuya, maybe treif is dechuya, and therefore that rebounds it on Shabbos. Which way do we go?
Surely, if the person is so sick anyway.
Pardon?
Surely, if the person is so sick on anyway on Shabbos.
Yes.
And the treif meat is available now, then you give it to
him
now.
Oh, that's a very good point. If the treif meat is available now and he needs to eat straight away, that's in fact the summary of the Shulchan Aruch. Because the Shulchan Aruch paskens in Aruch Haim Shin Chaf Ches that we do choose the shechting option. We do say you shecht rather than give the treif meat, unless there will be a delay. And if there is a delay and you've got the treif meat ready to hand, then you give the treif meat. But the outcome then of it is that the preference is to do the shechting rather than to serve the treif of meat. So the question comes out from this really that Shabbos isn't really just broken to save a life. Shabbos is being broken in an order to avoid eating treif of meat. Right? Because we always think we break Shabbos in order to save life, but we're breaking Shabbos here to avoid eating treifa. Says the Bach, eating treifa food is something which is so maguna, something which is so despicable. Hashem guards the righteous never to eat treifa food. But Shabbos is different. It's not that Hashem guards us in order that we don't. If we have to break Shabbos, we break Shabbos. And Chazal say that one of the reasons why we break Shabbos is in order that you can keep many more Shabbosos. So the whole idea of breaking Shabbos is part of Shemirat Shabbos. Paradoxically, it is part of keeping Shabbos because it enables you to keep many more Shabbos.
You could argue it's not actually breaking Shabbos because the din is you must do this actually, yeah. Therefore it's not breaking Shabbos.
That's right, because it says v'chai bohem, and therefore you're not really breaking Shabbos. You are doing a Shemirat Shabbos, although it hinges on whether it's Hutcher or Dechuyim. We've got this machlokas between the Rishonim. And in fact, the Ksav Sofer asks the question in Arachaim Samad Beis. He says, if a sick person is faced with having to eat treifa meat, don't we regard the treifa as kosher? Just like you might regard Shabbos as being non-Shabbos. So he says, treifa is an option only if there's nothing else. And then there's another question, because when you are shechting, you're asking somebody else to do a sim on your behalf. You're asking the shochet to do shechting on Shabbos. So it's k'cheit k'deshi is k'chavercho. Right? But you're not actually asking the shochet to do a sin, as you say. It's to do a mitzvah, it's to save a life. So it's not therefore sinning. An interesting idea comes out from Rav Shneur Zalman of Liadi, and many chassidim follow this idea, and he writes this in the Sefer of Tanya. He says, the word trace is not really the correct word. It comes from the word issa. It's a prohibition. And issa comes from the word which means to tie up, to bond you. And there is something mystical about the fact that once you eat treifa food, it has an effect on you afterwards. It's metamtem the lave. And therefore the prayers and the good deeds which you do afterwards, which are done on the strength of that treifa food that you ate, inhibits the spiritual value of those prayers and those good deeds. And that's why one should rather shecht. And that is in fact the halacha. And the Ksav Sofer says a very interesting lesson which comes out from this. He says, one Jew should be there to save another. Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelo Zeh. The fact that you're asking somebody else who's got no relationship to the sick person to shecht that food, he is doing something for the sick person to save his life, but he's saving him from having to eat treifa food. So Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelo Zeh, that we are performing what might appear to be breaking Shabbos, alright, we're suspending melacha, not only in order to save life, but in order to avoid somebody else from eating treif, that it's not for yourself from eating treif, but somebody else, that we are responsible for each other. So there are interesting ideas which come out from that, even though you might not be faced nowadays with the idea of shechting. A lot of the idea of treating the sick in halacha is preventing something from happening. Preventative medicine. And although we've discussed something along these lines before, there's a Rambam in Hilchas Deos in Perek Gimel, Halacha Gimel, says that a person should set his heart that his body should always be healthy and strong, and he will never understand the wisdoms of the world if he is ailing or hungry or if he is sick or if he's an aching of pains. And we find even in the Chumash that Moshe Rabbeinu acts to defy a decree of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to start off a magefa, to start off a plague. And he acts in a preventative sort of way. Bamidbar Yudzayin Yudalev, Moshe says to Aaron, after Hashem says, I'm going to destroy the Bnei Yisrael Karega in an instant, Moshe says to Aaron, take the fire pan, put it on the altar and the Ketores, and get Kalal Yisrael to atone. And this was to avoid a plague which Hashem had decreed. So one should take steps to avoid any problems which are likely to happen in the future. And the Gemara Shabbos in Lamed Beis says one should take steps to maintain a healthy lifestyle. Obviously you're not breaking Shabbos in order to go to the gym. I'm not suggesting that, Chas v'Shalom. But the Gemara does give examples, like Rav, he would not board a ship if he knew that there were idolaters on board, because as a result of them practicing idolatry, the ship might sink. So he was doing a preventative measure to guard himself. And Rav Yonah, in fact, checked the boat for holes, which is not such a spiritual thing, but he just wanted to make sure that the boat was safe and it complied to the health and safety regulations. He said one should never rely on a miracle. And the Iyun Yaakov writes on the Ein Yaakov, although an illness can elicit teshuva, because when a person is ill they start doing kapora for their sins, one must still make the effort never to get into that matzav of becoming ill, because when you need a refuah, it's a miracle that you become cured, and you mustn't rely on miracles. The Sefer Chovas Halavava says in Shabbat Tochon that even though a person's days are decided of how many years he shall live, you mustn't have the attitude, oh well, it doesn't matter what I eat or how I behave, because Hashem's decided how long I'm going to live anyway. One must still nourish oneself properly and clothe oneself properly to serve one need. And if you say, if Hashem wants me to live, he'll look after me, that's not entirely true, because your good deeds and your prayers can lengthen your life, and the lack of them could chas v'shalom shorten your life. So when we're talking about preventative medicine, Rav Moshe Feinstein writes that it's important that couples who are starting to date and one starts shidduchim to have a test for Tay-Sachs disease. There are other genetic illnesses. Rav Moshe Feinstein says this in Evan Ezer, Chelek Dalet Siman Yud. There are other genetic diseases, Rachmona Litzlon, not just amongst Ashkenazim, but Sfardim, and it's good to idea to have testing done. The Chovetz Chaim in his days already was warning about smoking. In Yeridah it brings down the Gemara that one shouldn't drink uncovered water, because a snake might have put its venom into it. And from there the Ramos says, Sakanta Chamira Meesura, we treat in Halacha human danger more specifically and more seriously than the problems arising from committing prohibitions, from Isurim. There's an interesting question by the Rashbash in his Chulas Kuf Tzadi Hei. He says the Ramah talks about that you should escape from a city where there's pestilence, that to protect your health you should run away from it. So he asks, if death was prescribed on Rosh Hashanah, then what's the point of running away? So he says that you can change your life period by the mitzvahs that you're keeping. I found an interesting idea brought in the what's called the Seder Hayom of Moshe Machir from the 16th century. He says, even if, as a result of you looking after your health, you will be ignoring some Torah study or some tefillah, then the mitzvahs were not given that a person should die, that a person should lose half his days. So not only is no reward for an unperformed mitzvah, but a person will be accountable for not looking after himself. So that one should make sure that one carries out a lifestyle which protects one's health. Another idea, an interesting questions which come to a lot of Rabbonim nowadays in the idea of preventative health, is the subject of vaccinations. Now, I'm not going to give a treatise on any personal opinions about the subject. This is supposed to be a shia. Although I did once make a whole dossier of papers, of research that I did, which I put before a certain Robin Golders Green, because we had a son who had suffered whooping cough, but Baruch Hashem got through it very well, and it raised this question about vaccinations, and I gave this dossier of papers to a very choshev rav of Akilin Golders Green to suggest that, because he was telling people that they should go for all the vaccinations for their children, and I was questioning this. I wasn't suggesting that one shouldn't, but I was questioning it, and he looked at what I showed him, and he said, no, one still gives vaccinations and one follows whatever the doctor says. So I said to him, tell me something, did you have all your children vaccinated? And he paused for a moment and he said, no. But he said he was telling people that they should follow their doctor's advice. Anyway, there is a journal which is called What Doctors Don't Tell You, which discuss the possible side effects. But in halachic terms, we say that we follow the majority. We say there's a principle called Shomer Pasoim Hashem, that Hashem preserves the simple, and that minimal risks can be encountered in one's lifestyle, because the world generally accepts such risks, like flying in an aeroplane or driving a car. So halachically, you are allowed to engage in various risks.
Only for a mitzvah.
Well, it's written for parnosa. When one is engaged in one's livelihood, one might be taking certain risks. which one wouldn't otherwise. And that's the question with the doctor, because the doctor is meeting contagious patients, so he's taking certain risks. So the Rambam says that the doctor should be willing to meet with contagious patients, even though he might suffer that risk. And you compare that to the Rambam, which said that you should flee from the city which has pestilence. It might look like there's a contradiction. But the attitude of the Rambam is that in engaging as a doctor or in your profession, you are receiving a siyata dishmaya, a special protection, that you should not come to any harm. Now, the Avnei Nezer asked a question about the doctor who told somebody to drink non-kosher milk. He doesn't say if the milk was non-supervised or non-kosher. He uses the words non-kosher. Is he allowed not to? Is he allowed not to listen to the doctor? Obviously, if the doctor says you have to drink it, then you should drink it because it's important for your health. But is one allowed to refuse? So he says one should still listen to the doctor. But if he says there is a sakona to the person, he is allowed to decline what the doctor says. But you have to bear in mind that if the doctor says don't fast on Yom Kippur and you fast, then you will be punished for that. Okay, you may well survive Yom Kippur very well. So there's a question of balance here and where there's a possible danger. So he says, well, when I say he, this is brought in an article by Rav Cohen in the Journal of Halacha. He says, if the doctor says you should vaccinate, his conclusion is you should. But he raises certain questions. He says there's been a number of deaths caused by the cervical cancer vaccine. He suspects government agencies who are in cahoots with pharmaceutical industries. He says they don't reveal to you what compensation figures are available for when you do suffer brain damage. So he says, although there is an element of risks we take with anaesthetics and penicillin and driving cars, he's leaving it open, and he says there's no one-size-fits-all answer. Rav Avadi Yosef in Yabia Omer, Chelet Yud, Yud Gimel, he says, although we apply the principle of Shemer Pasayim Hashem, Hashem preserves the simple, you might ask, do I have to engage in vaccinations? He says, since most of them are okay, halakhically, you are permitted to engage in them. Indeed, some schools in America don't accept children if they're not vaccinated, so it's a big dilemma. But in this idea of looking at alternatives, there is the question of what's called non-conventional medicine. Preventive medicine was one aspect we've discussed, but what about what we call complementary medicine, alternative medicine? Alright, one might argue that naturopath has a better way of healing than the doctor who's relying on artificial drugs, but the majority are going according to the medical profession. And the medical profession will say to you, well, don't go for such and such, because it's not scientifically tested. They say this about homeopathy. Nevertheless, there is a homeopathic hospital run by the National Health Service. So the question which arises is, when we're talking about breaking Shabbos or eating traitor food, will that apply not only to conventional medicine, of calling an ordinary doctor, orthodox doctor, as they say, but does it also apply to using these fringe kinds of medicines and healings, to get homeopathic remedies, or dietary supplements, or aromatherapy, iridology, faith healers? There's a long list which one can go into. Does one break Shabbos for those? Pardon?
Acupuncture.
Well, I've had acupuncture done, and it helped me enormously. But the truth is that to dig needles into yourself is, although it's a kind of wounding, it's not breaking Shabbos. It's not breaking Shabbos. So if you really have to have acupuncture, I'm not going to Paskin now, you've got to ask a Rav, but it's not a malocha as such. In fact, you don't see any blood when the needles go in and out, but that's another story. The Gemara in Yoma, Pei Gimel, talks about if a person is bitten by a dog, a mad dog, and there's an argument there whether one can feed the victim with the liver of that dog, because it was believed that that would provide a remedy. The liver of a dog is definitely not kosher, but Rav Masya Bacheresh allows it. His attitude is there's a danger to life. His attitude is that it's a remedy, and therefore you can eat this tray for food. So Rashi says there, It's not a refua gumuro. It's not a proper remedy or complete remedy, and therefore it may not be done, and that's the halacha. The Maharam says, only if a remedy is well known may it be practiced, or may you break Shabbos for it. And the Ramah says, the phrase refua yidua, yaradeh kufnen hey and zayin, he says it's got to be a widely established remedy, which people generally accept. Not that it's got to be scientifically proven, but refua yidua. And eating the liver of a dog is not a refua yidua. It's not a refua gemura either, says Rashi. But what if you say, well, even if there's a remote possibility to save lives, surely I've got to do everything I possibly can. So the Prima Godin writes in Shin Chaf Ches, he says, in Pekuach Nefesh, it's true that you do anything, even when it's questionable. But you do have to lean towards this idea of refua yidua. And the Rambam says that this idea of the dog liver, the reason why we paskin you can't have it, because it's not kosher, is because it's not really a medical remedy, it's a segula remedy. A segula means there is some mystical idea behind it, which might awaken Hisoras to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to provide a remedy, but it's not called a medical remedy. And that's why we don't permit it. He says any remedy which we regard as a weak form, or quack medicine, therefore is not okay. But the Rashba, interestingly, in Chelek Aleph Kuf Samach Zayin says, he allows the idea of writing on Shabbos an amulet, or moulding an amulet which is believed with a segula to help a person recover properly from a danger. That's his psak. What about non-kosher ingredients in current day medicine? In fact, a lot of homeopathic remedies contain some very weird ingredients. They use sharp cartilage for arthritis, glucosamine. They take something from cockroaches in homeopathic medicine, something called lysine. Lachesis is made from snakes. Catheris is made from beetles. It's quite weird, but it's so heavily diluted. On those, the general pasak is that it's nullified and it's botel, and therefore it's not osel for you to have even on a weekday. But personal queries have to be forwarded to a competent rabbinical authority. What if, then, you are still faced with this dilemma? So if a doctor says, a Rav Flug writes an article on this, and he says that if the doctor says that there is a danger in this alternative therapy, then you definitely don't take it. In fact, there are herbal remedies which are regarded as toxic. So if a doctor says, don't take it at all because it's dangerous, you don't take it. But if the doctor says, oh, it's a waste of time, and it's a waste of money, then you are allowed to do whatever you feel is right. A lot of interesting halachas are brought by Rav Moshe Feinstein when it comes to refuas, and we're not going to go through all of them, but just a small selection of ideas which come out from how we deal with patients who are suffering in a severe way with pikuach nefesh. He says that most hospitalized patients are within the category of pikuach nefesh. Even though you might think you are going into hospital for just a routine type of surgery or whatever it is, maybe it's because of the conditions inside the surgeries or the infections one can pick up there, or maybe it's to do with the food they serve, I don't know, but he says most hospitalized patients we treat as pikuach nefesh, and even if you brought the illness upon yourself, we still give you that special treatment. Another thing, Rav Moshe Feinstein says that even if one out of 100 phone calls is an emergency and none of the others, all other 99, are not an emergency, a doctor must still pick up the phone on Shabbos. Because even if there's that one chance in 100 that it is an emergency, the doctor has to pick up the phone. Another important psak given by Rav Moshe is that a doctor should treat all people equally when it comes to emergencies on Shabbos, Jews and non-Jews alike. One mustn't assume that because a person is not Jewish, one shouldn't break Shabbos. One does break Shabbos for a non-Jew, just like a Jew. Then he says, a malacha might even be done just for a patient's comfort. There's a classic case where if a blind woman who has given birth asks for Shabbos candles to be lit, then we light those candles. She can't see them, but they give her a peace of mind. They give her some serenity that she knows that these candles have been lit. And in fact, Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach paskens that one can give trei for food or do things on Shabbos like getting vaccination, even if it's only just to dispel an anxiety where that anxiety could be so harmful to that person's health, to be called pikuach nefesh.
Would that include like going to hospital with somebody?
Yes, definitely. This is brought by Rabbi Shur, neither in his Sefer and others, that one can accompany somebody in an ambulance to a hospital on Shabbos, because it gives them a relaxed mind, and that includes a woman who's about to give birth, and you just can't take transport back, that's all. You'll have to walk. Sorry, I'm about to sneeze. Should have done.
This is a live show. Some people, though, some helpers,
yes, Hatzolonics, because they might have to attend to other emergencies, and so they will drive back afterwards.
They get a goy driving back.
Yeah, they do in fact have a goy, but if there is no goy available who can do it just as quickly and efficiently, then one does the melacha oneself. And there's also the question of replacing a telephone after emergency call. If not replacing the telephone will result in blocking that emergency line that other emergency callers can't get through, then one has to ring off and make sure that the line is disconnected. Rav Moshe quotes Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, who instructed healthy people to eat during a cholera outbreak, and this was to eat on Yom Kippur. He said that when one is hungry it can compromise your immune system, and therefore he said in that shuv, in Evan Oezer, Chelek Aleph Samach Hei, a woman must not fast on Yom Kippur, even if there's simply a danger that she might have a nervous breakdown. He also talks about, on Pesach, eating pills made with chometz, to ingest those after surgery, but he permits those as well. So this, in a nutshell, is looking at our first section on treating the sick, where there's a lot to do with preventative medicine, or looking at how complementary medicine is affected by halacha. What we're going to do next time is we're going to discuss the various controversies relating to things like IVF, organ transplants, definition of death, and we'll try and wrap it all up in one session. But one thing which is really troubling nowadays is that doctors have this attitude about quality of life. Now, it's very important that we have quality of life. When my father was very ill and he was in a rather poor state, the doctor was looking reluctant to do certain things because he said, well, you know, what sort of quality of life will he have if I bother? It's very important for any doctor to understand that there is something much more important than quality of life, and that is sanctity of life. The Torah makes it very clear that life is something precious. Life is something holy. As long as there is life, there is hope. As long as there is life, a person can do teshuva. As long as there is life, there is a chance. And to write off somebody, simply to say, oh, well, that person will, in his coma or whatever, won't have any more quality of life, let's not bother about him. All right, we will discuss next time about life support machines and that kind of thing. That's the big mistake, unfortunately, nowadays, which one has to keep an eye on, unfortunately, that the doctors have to be reminded that when we are in that very sad situation of an emergency, that it is the sanctity of life that counts much more than the quality of life. We should all be gesund. Thank you. Rest up.